Praise the Lord. Welcome to Desert Sky Baptist Church. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Miss Marilyn. It's an honor to be here this morning. So, with that, we are continuing CC in the Epistle to the Hebrews. But I want to ask you to go to the book of Genesis. And if you guys can't find Genesis, we got problems, man. Let's go to the book of Genesis for a second. We're going to stay here for a little bit. We should be familiar with these scriptures. Ben gave away my secret. You see, I keep some extra glasses up here just in case they fog up. You didn't know that because you can't see that, right? Just in case they fog up. It's an honor to be here, obviously, with our congregants. An honor doing live stream for the people who cannot make it. So, may God bless and keep you and honor you, not because of who you are, but who you are in Christ. So as we, again, go to the book of Genesis, should be an easy find for all of us. I want to read the first two verses here in Genesis, and then we'll go one more place in Genesis, and then we'll get to the epistle to the Hebrews. Two verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or waste and emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now, Genesis 1:1 is a summary statement of how the earth was created. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. It's a summary statement. Now, verse 2 describes that the earth was what? It was formless and void. It was tohu or bohu. It was formless and void. The Spirit of God hovered over it, and that's how creation began. And it would be finished, Taylor, by God's spoken word. Now, the rest of chapter 1, as we know, if we're familiar with our Bible, right, gives a more detailed account of how God created all things, especially in the space of 6 days. The Bible says what? Let there be, and there was. Now, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this, what I'm going to say here. Barcelos reminds us that Moses is the author of Genesis. Is he not? I mean, Moses is the author of Genesis. Now, he was not present when creation happened, obviously. God could have directly told him, or it was passed down to him. And Barcelos continues to remind us, Moses is not writing to a board of scientists. He's not writing to a 21st century audience. He's writing to remind the ancient people of God that they have a history, and their history is theological. It's not scientific. You see, we look at this, and I know there's a lot of ink spilled on creation and stuff, and praise the Lord, but Moses, the author of the book of Genesis, is writing to a people of God and telling them that their life is theological, it's not scientific. And that's what's important. Now, yes, of course, we see I believe it's a literal 6 days. But at the end of the day, Moses is telling a people of God that your world, your life is theological. What a picture. What a picture of our life today. If you go to somebody today and ask them what's their life consist of, we'll get a smorgasbord of responses. But as a Christian, Nikki, your life is theological. And we miss that sometimes. And we miss that. Me first. Second chapter of Genesis, just for a sec. Four verses, if I may. Listen, I'm going somewhere today. Just give me a chance to get there. It might take me about 2-3 hours. I'm only kidding. But just give me a chance, Donna. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. Go to the second division of Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their host. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because In it, he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord had made heaven and earth. That's the inclusio from Genesis 1. But there's a term here. Remember the Hebrew language. Now, this is important. You're going to hear this term a lot as we go into our study this morning. But you see the term rest. The key term is here, God rested. Now hear this. This section of Scripture is so important to the Genesis account because, as we know, there's going to become a time, Miss Kathy, there's going to become a time in the book of Genesis that there's going to be what? Unrest. There's going to be unrest because of sin. Rebellion would arise. So here we got the rest, but eventually we know there's going to be unrest. Sin will cultivate and it will expand on so many levels. As the ancient cry continues, Adam, where are you? Humanity, where are you? As rebellion against God increases. And because of that rebellion, Adam, who is, if you read the book of Genesis rightly, Adam is the high priest and the garden is the temple. And he's supposed to keep the temple. He's the high priest. And obviously by him sinning, he gets thrown out of the garden, gets thrown out of the temple garden, as scholars would like to say. And then you got them dudes guarding, you got them whatever they were, them 6-8 foot angels guarding. You can't get back, dude. This is now holy, and you, since you let your holiness off, so to speak, because you sinned, you're out. And humanity's been trying to find that place back in so many different areas in this world today. And there's only one way back, and that's through Christ. So here we know this, that they get thrown out of the temple garden. Obviously, humanity, like its predecessor Adam, had become wanderers. Humanity now finds itself on a journey, Sonny, of self-deception. A journey of self-destruction. We live in a society that's blind to the truth, open to rebellion, embracing unrest, open to worldly black market ideologies. We have strayed so far from home, so far from the Lord, that we don't know where we have come from, and worse than that, we don't know where we're headed if we are not a Christian. The world is bought into a deception of eternity. The world is bought into a deception of eternity. Looking for eternity in all the wrong places. A fabrication of the human mind gone rogue. Let me say that again. A fabrication of the human mind gone rogue. But I'm here to tell you that sin will not have the last say. Because God has left the door open for the Sabbath, for the eternal rest. The eternal rest. In the verses we've just read, it's actually an inclusio to Genesis 1:1. But then there's an added dimension about God entering into this Sabbath rest. And here's the deal. This rest is the hinge that swings the fence. A rest that we will learn when we get to Hebrews is promised to all believers now and in the future. If one has truly entered that rest by what, Kim? By faith. By faith. It would reverse the effects of Adam's sin, would it not? This is good news. Please know if you're a Christian today, you have a history. And your history, yes, has a temporal aspect, but it does not end there. Because you wait for the, you are in the already, waiting for what? The not yet. What you see is not all you get, Jan. We are waiting, as Abraham said, for a city whose builder and maker is what? Of God. And that's where we now want you to think about this as we go to the epistle to the Hebrews. I'll give you guys a little homework as I'm reading. Well, you know what? How about this, Donna? I'll tell you. I won't give you no homework. The word rest is mentioned 9 times in 11 verses that we're going to read. 9 times. So, as we know, Italians love to repeat themselves, don't they? Now you know why. Because they want to make a point. Glenda, right? You've been around some Italians, right? At least you've been around this year. She's going, you. I don't tend to repeat myself, do I? Holland says, no. First 11 verses. Notice, let me ask you a question. We're dealing with two things today. Let me say this. I'll get there. I know I got to stay up there for this. I'll get there in a second, Ms. Ashley. We're dealing with two things. I want us to deal with two things. Easy. Rest or unrest. Now make it harder, Mike. Eternal rest or eternal unrest. That puts a little sting in the tail, does it not? So that's the two. Listen, here's the thing. Let me just lay it on the line. Either you're going to be eternally in rest, Ron, or you're going to be eternally in unrest. Now watch. This is... It doesn't get more serious than this. It doesn't get more serious than this. First 11 verses. Here we go. Starting in the fourth division, first verse. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have the good news preached to us just this day also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith of those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just like he had said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. See it? Unrest, rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had the good news preached to them failed to enter that because of disobedience. He again fixes a certain day, today, 95th Psalm, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath, the Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his last verse. Therefore, the reason therefore is there is whatever he said in front, therefore. Let us be diligent. Let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Don't ever say I repeat myself a lot. I mean, you see here, yay, there is a picture of rest, but there's also another picture of unrest, right? So Psalm 95, and that's here, we as we discussed throughout, has taught us that there was an available rest in the promised land. But they did not hear the message. They did not hear God, and the Bible says they did not enter. Adam and Eve, as we've discussed, were already in God's rest. They were in the garden, so to speak, but they did not discern the message either. They did not trust God, and they became estranged wanderers, not entering into that God-given rest. This is the picture here. It's a picture here now. You are a wanderer on this earth. You're in total unrest if you are not a Christian. It's a huge picture. It's a huge picture. We live in a world of unrest today. This is a huge picture. picture, Miss Melva, because there's no in between. You're not in like a comatose state, Taylor. You are either in unrest or you're in rest. Taylor, you know, taking care of a child, when your child is unrestful, when they are in unrest, they're hard to deal with. You love when they're able to sleep and be restful. If you are a Christian today, you can rest in what Christ has done for you. Or you will be in eternal unrest. That's serious stuff. You can't play around with this stuff, because the writer of Hebrews has mentioned this so many times. Now, if we remember last week, there's a dichotomy between the verses we just read and the ones last week. Remember, last week it spoke about the disobedient wanderers who did not enter into rest. The therefore in verse 1, again, reminds us of the progression of unbelief we spoke about last week. Remember, it started off with unbelief, and then it progresses into a state of eternal unbelief. Serious stuff. Serious stuff. It starts out slow, Ben, but it progresses into a point where you turn, may I, into a pillar of salt, so to speak. You know, so this is what we're dealing with here. The challenge remains here, also in these verses, concerning ones who would enter by what? On a faith, right? Over against those who would not enter because of what? Lack of faith. We've got to kind of explore that a little bit, right? Carolyn, because there's too much on the line. Listen, why do we want to, there's too much on the line to be pity-pattying and, you know, whatever it is. There's too much on the line to be preaching a soft gospel. There's eternal unrest. I mean, it's too much. I would not be worth the salt if we didn't speak about this stuff. There's too much online. There's too much on the line, Ben. There's too much on the line. Now look, verse 1 and 2 use depicts the preacher of Hebrews can very well be speaking of his a word. I got a word for you, Miss Kathy. Kim, you too. I'm not talking about you per se. I'll put complacency. Complacency's a... Listen, let's talk about that. There, I think here, the writer and the preacher of Hebrews is, let me use this word, he's fearing, not fearing scared, but he's fearing that there's a lack of, there is complacency in the church, complacency. But today in the world, listen, complacency is a word that everyone's looking after, right? Especially today. Listen, the world wants complacency. Just turn on your news. You don't think Harlan, they want complacency? Harlan won't even watch the news anymore. It's so uncomplacent. But complacency. Now hear this. You got to hear this. Complacency to the people of God is a warning for us not to trust in the here and now. Like Abraham's looking for the heavenly city. Listen, if you're a people of God, you're never going to be complacent here. And if you are, there's a problem. This is not your home. Harry, this is not where you reside. Abraham says, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is of God. Now, he was going, now wait a minute. See, we're not too good readers of the text. He's on his way to Canaan. He's on his way to the promised land. That's the already, but he's looking for the not yet. See, the already was Canaan, was Canaan. This is our already, but we look, Nikki, for the not yet. And that's that. Where is it, Jonathan, right? Either rest or unrest. But see, the rest and the unrest, listen. All right, Jonathan went to sleep last night. Oh, Pastor, I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. Sorry, Jonathan. Maybe tonight you will. But eternal unrest, I don't have a cure for that. I can't give you a, I don't know, whatever. I was thinking about the Doan sleeping pills. Remember them years ago? I'm really showing my age. Remember them, Ben, you're laughing? Did it ever work? I never tried anything like that. Yeah. But, right, John, but here's the thing. The question is, he had a bad night's sleep. Okay, he'll get a better one tonight. But eternal unrest, there's no cure for that. There's no cure. So this is, I believe, something we need to speak about, right? The writer's context of this exhortation comes from last week's lesson. Remember Joshua and Caleb? They ended because of faith, while the others were more concerned with the here and now. They were living in the moment, not for the moment, right? They were living in the moment. Even though Joshua and Caleb had not entered in that particular time, they believed it would happen. They believed, Sonny, by faith, they would enter the promised land. They had an eye of faith in the not yet. With that being said, in verses 3 and 4, we have those who enter by faith and those who do not. But there's an added twist to this notion. Look at 3 and 4. There's an added twist. Look. This rest. I got two little stars by this. So that means to take it easy, Dominic. Because this is important. This rest, as Guthrie depicts, is not limited. It was not limited for them, as it is not limited for us. In fact, it was promised before the creation of the world. In other words, after the completion of creation, there was an available rest as God rested on the seventh day. Verse 4, this reverts to our opening text. In other words, Guthrie reminds us that the failure to enter was not because it was unavailable or it was for a limited, you ever hear that, for a limited time only, right? It was, right, Ben? This rest was not for a limited time only. It was a present reality then, as it is for now. But Adam and Eve failed the test. The ones in the wilderness failed the test. Listen. Thank God we have the second Adam for Adam and Eve. But the wilderness wanderers, they don't get a second chance to make, say, so to speak, a first impression. That's eternal unrest. See, you know, when we read the psalm, "They did not enter my rest," we don't take that serious enough. The psalmist, the 95th psalm, says, "They did not enter that rest." But that's eternal unrest. It's not that Johnny Boy, Jonathan had a bad night sleeping. And then we don't, because this is why the writer of Hebrews is saying rest, rest, rest. He's not some crazy Italian. He's just telling you rest, rest, rest. Enter that rest. Or else, Cindy, it's unrest. Eternal unrest. This guy's a tough preacher, Ron. This guy doesn't play around. Not me, the preacher of Hebrews. I'm only saying what he's saying. The theological issue is one that we must explore. Even though the rest, as mentioned, was preordained before the world, it was still available for all, but some will fall short of it. This, again, is a warning shot. He's warning people. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. David wrote about this verse 7 in the 95th Psalm. Here's the question. It's a simple question, Donna. Do we hear Adam's voice or do we hear God's voice? That's the question. That's the challenge. That's the challenge for the writer of Hebrews, for the preacher of Hebrews. Listen, God in creating the world was offering hope, eternal hope that would have to be culminated in Christ. Listen, so let's, okay. If somebody tells you, what is the Sabbath rest? What is it? It's the gospel message. It's the mess. Listen, the Sabbath rest was looking forward when I can preach to you about Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. That's the only rest there is, Nikki. That's the Sabbath rest. That's the Sabbath. That's the rest. It's in Christ and Him crucified. There is no other rest. It don't matter. I know people are looking for rest in all the wrong places today. I know that. It's temporal rest, Ron. 80 and out, 85, 90, 94, whatever it is. This rest that Christ offers on the cross for what He did for His people is eternal. Kim, eternal. You can't wrap your mind around that, Cecilia. It's eternal. 10,000 years will be like nothing. Imagine me, Harlan, and Paul. We can hang out for who knows. I'm not that long-winded. No, but you think I'm long-winded. What about Paul? Remember him preaching for 6 hours and the guy fell out and Paul healed him? Let's have something to eat and went back to preaching. You know, so we're talking about eternal rest. Eternal rest. Look at verse 10. No, I'm not there. Look, I'm sorry. The Bible depicts the Lord is not slack in His promises. He delays His coming, so His sheep will be gathered in. Taylor, Ashley, do you understand that God delays His coming so His people will be brought in? Do you understand? Listen, I didn't become a Christian when I was 10. You either, Ashley. Taylor, I'm sorry. Thank God, God had mercy on us. And He waited because He waits for His people. Because He knows His people before the foundations of the world. And He gives them the Sabbath, the rest. But we don't know when that is. Nobody's born a Christian. Don't believe the hype when they sprinkle somebody that say, that's... He waits for His people to come in because He's ordained them to come in. What a picture of grace, Ben. What a picture. If you're a Christian today, you listen. I don't care how young you are. If you're a Christian today, you're a Christian before the foundations of the world. This is the God we serve. We can't wrap our mind around eternity. How do we do that? How do we wrap our mind around eternity? In fact, look at verse 8. If Joshua had given them rest, there'd be, in other words, if the true rest was the Old Testament promised land, then Abraham would not be looking for another city. In fact, there'd be no need for the Sabbath rest, which is the message of the cross, because as Hughes depicts, God's rest is not temporal, but what? Eternal. Don't you love when you hear those children, man? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. They can run around. They can bounce balls in the water. We love them kids, man. I don't care if they can run. They can come up here and I'll just pick them up and preach with them. I love to hear them kids, man. That's because I'm a big kid myself, right, Kathy? You notice, Kathy, how she said that. Don, I see you laughing too. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this rest for a minute. Rest is a slippery... The word rest today is kind of a slippery slope, isn't it? Why? Because we live in a world of unrest. In fact, civil unrest, according to this year's... Here's one for you, Ben. Global Peace Index... has doubled in the past decade as citizens protest against issues ranging from economic hardship and to political instability. Now, of course, anybody hear of COVID-19? No, nobody's heard of that, right? I mean, you talk about all the unrest with that. Right? Jan, how's that work? COVID-19/unrest. Right? I mean, you hear about that. But anyway, look at verse 10. This is big. When God finished his creative work, as we have read, he rested. This allows us to enter that same rest. Because remember, Donna, he's our trailblazer. When he created that rest, he went before us. He went to the cross. He was the trailblazer to that rest. What do? Corb? We follow. We follow. He's the trailblazer. We follow. He's the trailblazer. When God finishes creative work, as we have just read, he rested. So when we have finished, listen, yeah, here it is. We have a work. The Bible says you're created unto what? Good works. Good works don't save you. You're created, born again, unto good works. You don't have to, you get to. So now watch this. Watch this. When we have finished what Christ has for us on the earth, we will enter, as Bruce reminds us, the eternal Sabbath keeping. Listen, when we are with the Lord, we are in eternal Sabbath keeping. Dana, eternal rest. I mean, the word rest, see, what is, it's like, you remember, what is rest? What is rest? Is there any rest today? Darlene, I mean, do you turn on the TV, rest? That's the last thing. I got elders, my fellow elders, some of them won't even put on a TV no more. Chief, you talk about unrest. Ashley, listen, Taylor, coming from the wrong side of the block, all three of us, we lived in a world of unrest. You too, Harlan, you're not exempt. You're not exempt. You lived in a world of unrest too. But someday, by God's grace, we will be eternal Sabbath keepers. That's what we want to be. Mike, listen, eternal Sabbath keepers. How was this rest purchased? It was a purchased product of what Christ did on the cross for his people. We rest from our toils, our labors. By God's grace in our heavenly dwelling place, he rested from his creation. When your work is done, you will have that rest. Eternal rest. You know, when I read this, God rest, right? It wasn't that God needed a time out. So don't think like he just got tired or something. But it shows that when this world has finished its course, there's a rest for God's people, because we know Christ is our trailblazer. In fact, doesn't the creation groan? Listen, in Romans 8, it says the creation groans for redemption of the sons of men. The creation, Paul used that as an analogy. He says the creation is groaning. It wants to get out of this unrest. These tsunamis and stuff, they say, what do they call it? Was it Mother Nature? Whoever that is. But no, that's because of the reason you get tsunamis. And the reason, that's because of sin. Because the world is unrest. It's out of whack. But someday, Paul says, the creation is groaning for the redemption of the sons of men. For the last one, for God's last elect to come in. And then the earth becomes rest. I mean, and this is, and the writer of Hebrews, the preacher of Hebrews, is trying to speak to some hard-headed dudes. Look at this for a second. Look at verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, enter what? Rest. And those who formerly had good news preached to them and failed to enter because of disobedience, the wilderness wanderers. Look at verse 11. Therefore, this is great. I mean, this is the inclusio here. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Don't charge me. What he's doing is he's saying, hey, remember these dudes in the wilderness? Hey, verse 6, look at them. They did not enter because of unbelief. Be careful. Be diligent. Lest you don't enter that rest. See 6 and 11, Kathy? They need to go like that. Right, Taylor? I mean, you see it later. Miss Ashley, she's 6 and 11. They did not enter the rest because of disobedience. Therefore, you need to be diligent. I need to be diligent. You see, Miss Carolyn? You can put them. See, those are really a question and answer thing right there. The answer is, hey, listen, they did not get in. The question is, are you being diligent? Don't charge me on that. We know God's sovereignty, and we know man's responsibility. They run two different ways, but they're both in the Bible. They're both in the Bible. And this is that 6 and 11 is a stunning way to do that. The comparison is that one of the wilderness wanderers who did not enter the rest. Why? Because they were not diligent. They were unbelievers. In fact, the Greek text, the first word in verse 11 is diligent. Be diligent. Make every effort to enter this rest. In other words, we cannot rest from our labors if there's no labors. Now watch this. We do this with eagerness. These labors, now hear this, please. Kathy, Taylor, Ashley, let me say this again. These labors don't save us, but they show we're saved. Works don't save you. But then the Bible says you're created unto good works. But you're created, why? Because you become born again first. Then your works follow you. That's what the Bible says, right? But you got to show you have good works to show that you're truly saved, right? This is how, Ben, we confirm our election. This is why James says faith without works is dead. Dead, right? What's the warning? The warning is don't fall like those in the wilderness. The preacher of Hebrews continues to challenge his people to persevere. Stretch our neck forwards into the high calling of Christ Jesus. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you. You know what Jesus said? If you are a Christian, you have peace. But Dan, you have eternal peace. Not that the world's going to give you. He already knows. He already knows this world is coupled and tripled with unrest. Listen, I know it. I know in people's minds right now, their minds are already thinking, first, when are we going to leave and when can we go? It's time to eat. I got so many things to do today. Your minds just go. Calvin said our minds are idol makers. Right? You start drifting. You start thinking about so many things. Melva, we know, Chief, we talk about this all the time. I mean, our minds, they truly are idol makers. And so the writer of Hebrews, the preacher of Hebrews, is saying, man, time out. Take a time out. Maybe that's what COVID-19 was for. Maybe that's what COVID-19 was for. Okay. So you might say, where's this dude get this from, right? Nikki, how you doing? Okay. What's our question? What is our substance we did? Jonathan, eternal rest or eternal unrest, right? Did we cover that, Sonny, this morning? Right? I mean, did we? Now watch this. So don't charge me. Now watch this. Go to Revelation. Go to the book of Revelation. Watch this. Now, you may think I'm crazy, but I got something on my mind. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. You can't make this up in a bet. Now, watch this. I want to wait till hear the pages stop. I love them noises anyway. I can see Nikki just thinking about what the name of this sermon is. You got notes back there, Nikki? Oh, yeah, she's around. I see her writing away. She tries to. Starting in the 14th division of Revelation, go to verse 11. Please hear this. Listen, you can't make this up in a bet. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest. Day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Where'd you hear this from? Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. You gotta be kidding. Eternal unrest. Eternal rest. Look at the dichotomy. The question is eternal rest or eternal unrest. Verse 11 talks of having no rest. Listen, I deal with this, Jonathan, so that's why I mentioned this to you. Since my brain surgery, I don't sleep well. I just don't. You know, and for me to get 6 hours sleep, if I'm average four, it's a lot. I'm telling you, this is crazy. Last night was one of those nights. I went to sleep at 9:30. At 12:30, Nikki, I was up. I was up. And I'm saying, no way, I got to preach, Lord, please. And this is true. I mean, ask Rachel, don't charge me. You can even ask Rachel. I mean, Rachel's not here for a reason. I'll tell you that some other time. But you can ask my wife. I'm telling you, Ben, I'm saying, Lord, please, I got to sleep. I got to preach. I'm rolling over. Mike, I'm telling you. And all of a sudden, because I got this, I'm studying this stuff for a whole week, the unrest, hell, I says, man, that's what it's going to be like in hell. And I'm telling you, Dana, listen, I'm just trying to get back to sleep. But, I mean, it's a terrible feeling when you can't sleep and you're twisting and turning and rolling and saying, I got to preach and I'll be too tired, Lord. And all of a sudden, because I've been looking at this stuff for a week, I says, holy mackerel. And I was just like, forget about it. After I couldn't sleep. I mean, but Kim... Think about, and then the Bible says the worm never dies. That means your mind. Think about this, an eternal unrest, Taylor, your mind. Why didn't I listen to that crazy guy from New York, man? Why? I mean, he's telling me this stuff, but like this. But there's no rest. It's eternal unrest. And I said to myself, it's a place I don't want to be, man. It's a place that, I mean, there's no rest. There's no rest. And the book of Revelation says, look at verse 11. There, day and night, that's a merismus, that's forever. Those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark, there is no rest. But then in verse 13, resting from one's labors, and how that is accomplished is by the cross of Christ and the power of the Spirit. By what? To persevere, Holland, right? Verse 12, we must persevere. In fact, believers will rest from their labors because our deeds will follow, making our calling and election sure by perseverance. On the other hand, verse 11, day and night, eternal unrest. Keeping the commandments of God, verse 12. Let me say this as we close out. In a fallen world, they're not easy. And they're not getting easier. We live in a deceived, Ben, fellow elder, we live in a deceived and rebellious culture. The culture proclaims in the spirit of freedom, nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing is deemed holy. The Bible depicts, do not let one's freedom become an occasion for the flesh. In a world of instant gratification, where we want our rewards, our achievements, not now, but right now, or better, as one author proclaims, I won't mention his name, Joel Osteen, our best life now. I did mention his name, I'm sorry. Our best life now. Our best life now. Okay. It better be not now. It better be in the not yet. Not the now. Verse 13 depicts that some will suffer unto death. And they will, now listeners, some will suffer unto death, but they will rest from their labors in the Lord. This is eternal reward for which we have been speaking. In other words, we must not compromise, Harlan, even unto death. We will persevere by God's grace. There's the writer of Hebrews is sure of that. But you got to persevere. Okay, Glenda. I can't put those things together. You will persevere by God's grace, but you have to persevere. Way above my pay grade. Because perseverance of the saints is something that is done over time. We can't just say we're persevering today. And nobody in this church believes more. I know that once you are saved, you are saved. But how many people do we see? Kathy, we've discussed this, me and you, ad nauseum. 5 years in the church, 6 years, you don't see them no more. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, right? But if you're a true Christian, Donna, you will persevere by the Spirit. As we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, let us do it as faithful witnesses, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. How about this, Miss Marilyn? Waiting for a city whose maker and builder is of God. Okay. I'm done, Miss Nikki. That's what the Bible says. Lord, I pray, first of all, I pray for the true believers as they persevere and give you glory. And then I pray, Lord, for ones who maybe are just not there and they needed to hear this today, whether they're listening on live stream, whether they're here, just know that they got a place to go. There is an eternal rest awaiting for them. And we pray that they can enter that rest by God's grace, by what Christ did on the cross. He's a good God, better than we deserve. Contemplate on these things, please. Saints, please, contemplate on these things. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell. But because of his grace, we have been saved by grace, not anything that you did. So as we pray out and we think about this, and when you think about people that are not saved, don't you think you're any better than them? You are only better than them because of what Christ did for you. And we got to pray that what Christ has done for you, he can do for them by your witness and your prayers for them. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Please sit down.